wonderful, and we thank you, certainly, God, for being everything we could ask, think, or imagine. But, Lord, we also thank you for including us in your marvelous plan. We thank you, Lord, for making us a special part of what you're doing in the world. And certainly, God, we're honored to serve you. We count it all joy to be a part of the ministry of kingdom building. And we certainly, God, pray that you would continue to do what you've already planned to do. Your word reminds us that our steps are ordered by the Lord. Your word also reminds us that we are predestined people. Lord, the choices that we make must be in line with the choice that you've made for us. And God, we know that that's called your will being done. And so, God, we ask again today that your will be done. We pray, God, that if we're too far to the right, you'll move us back to center. If we're too far to the left, move us back to center. Lord, if we're falling behind, bring us up with the pack. Lord, if we're gone too far ahead, slow us down. Lord, and we pray that in all these things, that our mind will be stayed on Christ. We pray, God, that no other thing will hinder us. Let us remember, Lord, that we have promised you that we would serve you. Let us remember that we have fixed our hands to the plow. We haven't lightly gripped it, Lord. We fixed our hands to the plow, and we dare not to look back. And so, God, we pray this hour, as we pray, Lord, in every hour, that you would show us the way. Lord, as David declared, the Lord is my shepherd. And Lord, good sheep need a good shepherd. And so, Lord, we know that with a good shepherd, we will become good sheep. And so, God, we pray that we would be obedient to all that you've called us to do. We pray, God, that we'll be committed, that we might finish. And Lord, we desire to do as Paul declared, run on and see what the end shall be. And our end is in Christ Jesus. Our beginning is in Christ Jesus. Our whole life is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, today for these. Thank you for our listening partners through all of our media resources and outlets. We pray, God, that even now we'll lean closer to our listening devices, that we will hear what you are saying to the church. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy, we pray. Cleanse us, we pray. And God, we pray that when we stand again, we'll stand to give you glory. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Turn to John, 2 John, please. 2 John, which is toward the back of the Bible, which got smart devices. You can just hit the button, it'll come right up. And we want to talk again in our essential discipleship development about dealing with the conflicts that come, the controversies that come, the contradictions that come. And I told you last week, and I've been telling you all the while, that this is going to happen. It's going to happen. There are going to be conflicts. There are going to be controversies, and there are going to be contradictions. You've just got to handle it, you know. And I will tell you, as I've often told you before, the first quit is the hard quit. Every quit after that gets easy. But how do you quit on God, who you said is your all in all and your everything? And so part of what we were talking about it last week a little bit, and I said to you, that one of the things that we're required to do is to give an account or give an answer as to what we really believe. And then I gave you the keys. You need to know why you believe, what you believe, who you believe, and when did you believe. When you answer those questions, there is no exit strategy there. You can't leave God. If, in fact, you believe that Jesus is Lord, and we say that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that, where's the exit strategy? If you say that what you believe is the whole word of God, and we know that from everlasting to everlasting, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, where's your exit strategy? If you know when you believed, then how do you go back to that day? Because the Bible declared the children of Israel had a problem wanting to go back to Egypt, but it was clear they could not go back. So if, in fact, that day you did your when you believe, you can't go back. And the who of your belief, he's God. And besides him, there is no other. There's no exit strategy. There's no way out. Why would we want a way out? Jesus looks at the disciples and says, are you going to leave also? It doesn't mean he wants you to go. He wants you to know that you ain't going to go. You need to say back to him, I'm not going anywhere. It amazes me how we will fight to hold earthly territory and give up our eternal territory without much of a fight at all. Most of us, if we live long enough, there's no babies in here presently, but all of us have heard horror stories about marriages that go bad and folk fight over stuff. They declare in the court. They go through courts for years because they want stuff. That was mine and the lifestyle of which I've become accustomed to and all that kind of stuff. But you walk away from God for what? And nothing? How do you leave God? When you'll fight for earthly stuff, but you won't fight for the stuff that God has promised you, the thing that God has called you to, you can leave it just like that? No, I don't think so. So there are three things today we want to talk about, and then we'll get to some others. But again, we're looking at, in our point three, to understand what it means for us to accept and to expect. So one of the things that John 2, 2 John helps us to understand, and I want to read a little bit to you. We'll start at verse 7. And this is what he says. He says, well, no, let me start at verse 4, because he says, how happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living in the truth, just as we have been commanding by the Father. Now, let me tell you something. Whenever there's an examination, it's going to be spiritual. You need to know that. Listen, the Lord ain't coming here to look at our material thing. God don't care nothing about whether we got stained glass windows, cushion pews, parking lot spaces for no man. You know, the city may have rules about how many parking places we got to have and all that kind of stuff. God don't care if we got fire extinguishers on the wall. God don't care about none of that stuff. It's spiritual. So one of the things that John makes clear is when I came, I found them living in the truth. He didn't say I found them waffling in the truth. They were living the truth. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer that publicly unless you feel bad and bold. Are you living in the truth? You know, Jess, this is not a music one, but this is inclined toward music. One of the shows that used to come on in the mid-80s was called In Living Color. And they would ask that question, how you living? And they would say, In Living Color. So I need to know how you living. I'm not asking you about your clothes. I don't care about your car. I don't care. Well, I do care about your money. We need that here. But how are you living? Are you living in the truth? Because can I tell you something? Until you live in the truth, everything else about your life is a lie. The money is a lie. The house is a lie. The marriage is a lie. The children are a lie. All of that other stuff is a lie. Why? Because in Him who is truth, you live, you move, and have your being. Until you live in truth, you're living a lie. And lies will catch up with you. You don't have to. Can I tell you something? My grandmother used to say this. She said, you all would rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stay on the ground and tell the truth. You know, and she would always pick a tall tree. She'd say, see that tree yonder? She never picked no little short one. But the point of the matter is, she said, y'all got choices. John says, I was glad to come back. What is God going to say about us when he comes back? Anybody even concerned about that? Some of y'all remember when mama and them used to leave us home? And my mother used to say this. I'm sure some of y'all mama said, don't let me come back here and catch you wrong. So what did we do? We made every effort to make sure she didn't catch us wrong. We didn't say we weren't going to do no wrong. We just made sure you wouldn't come back and catch us wrong. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says God has a formula called no man knows the day nor the hour. See, we could almost predict when mama and them was coming back, couldn't we? We had a clue. We kind of knew, well, she'd been gone about 40 minutes. She's going to run over to Aunt Velma Lee's house. They ain't going to stay for so long, and she'll be back. So the truth of the matter for us is, are you living in truth? One, consistently. Two, is your commitment to truth. And three, watch this now, this is critical. Are you conformed to truth? Why do we say that, Pastor? Because the devil is a deceiver, and we're born in sin, which means we're born in ally or in alliance with the deceiver. So now we need to be conformed. Remember, the Romans letter says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, come around to truth. Star Wars puts it this way. You need to come away from the dark side. We're born on the dark side. We need to do like that little short lady in Poltergeist. We need to come into the light. John says, I was happy to come back and hear, to see, to witness that your children are living in the truth. How do children live in the truth if their parents do not? No child is going to figure this out on their own. What are you saying, Pastor? Remember, the Bible always sees you as a child. You need spiritual leaders. You need parenting. You need to follow. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord himself said, I'll give you pastors. Why? To help you find truth. Anybody ever been lost? Even for a short period of time? And what you were looking for wasn't as far away as you might have thought it to be? Or because you had no real clue what you were really looking for, you missed it so many times? How many of y'all have phones with GPS capability? If you got a smartphone, every one of them will do it. You can Google a place. Some of us got the new ones. You can say it. You know, you don't have to type anymore. You can just say Burger King. And it'll say, there are three Burger Kings near your location. And, you know, would you like the directions to the nearest one? And you can say, yes. And it'll do it for you. But how many of you ever been using your GPS and it says, in 100 feet, turn left. And you look up and there's nowhere to turn. You say to yourself, this can't be right. And then if you miss it, it'll say, as soon as practical, make a U-turn. Or it'll say, turn left, turn left, turn left. But what it knows is what you don't know. Because your problem is it don't look like 100 feet. Oh, it don't look like in 800 feet. Because see, you don't operate like that. Most of us don't even realize what 3 feet look like. So if it says in 800 feet, and you look, that can't be right. And then when you pass it, it'll say, as soon as it's practical, you know, and then you look, oh yeah, that is it. It knows what you don't know. And you can't go by your eyes. You can't go by your ears. What are you saying, Pastor? The Bible gives you an answer. We walk by faith and not by sight. And how many know that everything you hear ain't really what was said? And some of what you don't hear has been said. That's why the Bible says, wake up, old sleeper. And so here it is. He says, I was glad to know they're living in truth. Watch this. He says, we found them that way. You know what he's saying? They weren't hiding from us. They were where we could see them. We didn't have to go looking for them. To find them does not mean you had to go hunting and pecking. You know, he showed up on any given Sunday, he found them living in truth. Or any given Thursday, he found them living in truth. Living in truth is an option that you can't mess up. Okay? Choose today. And can I tell you that you have to choose every day? But you ought to make the same choice every day. Salvation is eternal, but you need to choose every day. You need to, I've said this to you before, you need to wake up every morning and reaffirm that you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do today? What's my assignment? God, keep me on purpose today. How many of you have to fight distraction? On your job, you know, you're sitting there working and your mind wanders. You have to go, blah, blah. You know, I don't know why we do. Or we do stuff like hit ourselves upside the head. You know, we're self-inflicting in pain. But it's easy to become distracted. How many of you drive and listen to the radio while you're driving? And then your song comes on and you find yourself going out. That's a distraction because now you're not looking in the rearview mirror anymore. You're not checking your left and right. You are jamming to your song. How many of you ever pull up next to people and you see them jam? You're like, and they don't even see you over there. And you're looking at them. And then they see it and go. That's a distraction. Babies in the car. That's a distraction. Kids in the back seat, even in the minivan. You know, minivans are probably worse than cars because they're further back. Now you got to pay. It's easily become distracted. How many been on the phone and you're trying to talk to somebody and do something? You know, you're multitasking, we call it. No, we're just distracted. Multitasking is a dangerous word. All it's saying is we're too distracted. And so he said, listen. What we got to realize is there are distractions. But in order for us to stay focused on the Lord, one, we got to stay faithful to the Lord. Two, he's got to be our foundation. And three, he He's got to be our faith. Because you got faith in a lot of things. You don't try to make it deep and spiritual, but you got faith in a lot of things. Some people got faith that the mailman going to bring their check the first of the month. People got faith in the fact that the store going to open on time. You know, silly little things. But, you know, we don't make a real issue out of them, but we really kind of count on them. And so if my focus is off, if I'm not really secure, if I don't really have great faith, my life is changing. I'm not living very well. Our quality of life is truth. The essential quality of life for Christian disciples is truth. It's not money. It's not jewelry. It's not... Listen, beloved of God, your life is not a car. I mean, it's nice to have one. God help us. I mean, it's nice to have a house that don't the roof don't leak and all, but that's not your life. That's not, those are things that, trust me, are going to pass away. That's not your life. They're a nice thing to have. And what does the Lord say about that? He says, your father knows you have need of these things. But don't put them in front of him. Don't flake out on God because you're trying to get that job. Don't let the devil lure you away from God by drawing you to the things of man. And he says, you know, they're living it. He said, they got it going on. Then he says this, and this is beautiful. He says, because we commanded them in the Father. Let me tell you what I've told you before. I'm here to help you. When your pastor says things to you with this book open, it may bring conviction. It may seem controversial, but I'm trying to help you. It'll be contradictory to your lifestyle. Because if I'm telling you to don't do and that's the thing you do, that's a contradiction and you're going to have to deal with that. But my purpose is not to beat, batter, and bruise you. My purpose is to build you and make you stronger than you've ever been so you can do this. Whether you got me or not, you can maintain until he comes. And he said, our command was based on the Father. You know, this is not my agenda. I have no agenda. I have an assignment. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Y'all missed that. I don't have an agenda. Oh, he just doing that. No. Me trying to get you to tithe is not an agenda just so we can pay for that air conditioning. It's an assignment because I got to take care of the house. And I shouldn't take care of this house by myself. That's an assignment. Oh, there he go again. He just want us to come. You know, we write letters to you and we say things to you. It's not an agenda. All our trustees can tell you, they can probably find something else to do and not have to worry about counting a few dollars or not have to worry about whether this is working or that is working. That's an assignment. And the Bible says, you be faithful over the few things. I don't have an agenda. My commands to you are commands from him. I don't, you know, I'm not sitting in the office thinking of ways to ruin your life or to keep you from going to the club or keep you from having fun with your family. When I say Bible study is this hour, prayer is this hour, worship is this hour, that's an assignment. And it's a command because he says, forsake not the assembly. I'm just relaying the command. Stone the messenger and he'll send another one. And so he said, listen, as we were commanded by the Father, that's what we're doing. That's what they're doing. And then he says this. He said, and now I want to urge you, verse 5, 2 John verse 5. Now I want to urge you, dear lady, that we should love one another. I could spend the rest of my time talking about love right here. But you know what? We need that. If there is one place other than my house, and I ain't gonna have to worry about it in my house too much, but if there's one place that I should be guaranteed love unlimited, Barry White Orchestra, love unlimited. Y'all don't know nothing about love unlimited, do you? Now, that's Barry White Orchestra. These two right here don't know. But it should be this place. It should be in the house of God. When this brother walked in, I don't know this gentleman's name, but he should be loved. He shouldn't have to come here and be on eggshells. We should smile at him and wave at him, and he should say, man, they didn't know me. This is the body of Christ. There are no strangers in our house. Who lets a stranger in their house? Not many people. How many of y'all saw the movie No Good Deed? She should have never let him in. No. Can I use your phone? No. I wrecked my car up the road. You should have stayed where your car was. Ma'am, can you help me?
No.
But in our house, there are no strangers. This brother is not a stranger. That's our brother. Brother beloved, we haven't seen. Welcome home. He says, you know, you all love each other. And love should not be fake. Shouldn't be walking over here grinning. Hey, man, how you doing? I don't know who this is. No, that's fake. Amen. Welcome. I don't know what this guy come here for. No. Love is love. He said, and I'm so happy that you love one another, regardless. Can I tell you that everybody messes up? Some intentionally. Oh, yeah, so, you know, some of us like try to make it like it was a mistake. It was intentional, premeditated, well planned, well thought out. Well, here's what I'm going to do today. That's the, okay, but that doesn't disqualify you from me loving you. Here it is. I don't have to love what you do, but I can love you till you don't do it no more. How many of you are glad that people don't know everything about you? That wasn't everybody. I'll just wait on the rest of y'all. Some of y'all on Pacific Standard Time. We on the East Coast. That was an East Coast question. I don't want you to. That stuff about me, I'm ashamed of. I mean, that thing that I'm so glad that God has a no trespassing sign in many areas of our lives. Amen. I'll say this, you know, sometimes it's not that I can't do better, I just don't do better. Hands again, you know, I mean, I just chose to be jacked up that day. I'm like, man, how many know God still loves you? Every promise into the atmosphere is unrevoked. God doesn't snatch stuff back from us by saying, because you messed up, I'm taking it. No, God knew you were going to mess up when he gave it to you. How many of y'all ever told somebody that? You know, say, I knew you was going to mess it up, but I gave it to you. That's some of that God stuff right there. You don't think God didn't, you know, when God entrusts things to us, it's not about you as much as it's about him. Because what God is doing is getting a glory out of the fact that people look and say, man, if God will let you do it, I think I'll try God. Some of you are better recruiters than you know. Watch this. He said, this is not a new command, but one we had from the beginning. Watch this. Love means doing what God has commanded us. Now, let me tell you something. That takes care of every ministry assignment. That takes care of all of the volunteers. You serve God and don't love him, you ain't serving God. When you sign up in the church or on your job, whatever it is, you represent God. And love means doing what you've been commanded to do. He didn't say love means liking what we've been told to do. It means that, you know what? I'm doing what I'm told to do. I'm on assignment. Jesus goes through that conversation with the centurion when he says, listen, I tell people to come and they come. I tell them to go and they go. Love means doing what you've been told to do. And nobody shouldn't have to fight you to do what you're supposed to do. Nobody shouldn't have to constantly remind you to do what you're supposed to do. You know your assignment. And I said a few weeks ago that alignment goes with assignment. And if you're not aligned, you're not going to do the assignment. Amen. And then with that alignment assignment comes the anointing of God, comes the authority of God. God gives us things in order. One of the robbing points of the church is we are so out of order. We want God to be over here, and then we jump over there. And well, do what you did here, over here, and watch God work. Love, when we have developed and gotten stronger and understand the disciplines that, and I'll tell you this again, there is a major amount of discipline to discipleship. Membership don't have that. That's why churches are always jacked up with people who know membership but don't understand discipleship. There's a major discipline that comes with being a disciple. Because we stay focused, steadfast, and unmovable. We understand the assignment. We don't look for the operation of alternate lifestyle. We look for the life of authority lifestyle. Alternate lifestyle says, well, I don't want to do it. I ain't got to do it. Authority lifestyle says, I have no choice. That's why Jesus said, I must go. Alternate lifestyle came from the disciples. They said, well, Lord, let's not go back there. And he said, no, we got to. You understand, beloved God, what authority means? Why are you looking for alternatives? Why are you trying to opt out? He said, love makes us do what we're supposed to. Well, it doesn't make us. It should be automatic. It means doing what God has commanded us. And here's what he says. He has commanded us to love one another. The marks of discipleship, the central things we understand is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul, and to love likewise our neighbors. Look at somebody and tell them, you're my neighbor. Yeah. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in this beauty. Would you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Yes, so I can love you. How many of you would certainly appreciate to a greater extent more people loving you? I mean, when you have one of them kind of not so good days, somebody come put their arms around you and say, you know, I love you. And don't want nothing from you. Let's just put it that way too. Let's throw that out there. You know, love me and don't want nothing now. Don't love me to get stuff. Sometimes just love me because I'm just me and I need love. Then I might give you something. I don't know. I may have an extra cookie in my bag. But love says, I am of God. Lionel Richie said, Jesus is love, I know. Father, help your children. That's what love is. You know what a church looks like when everybody love each other? Looks like God. It looks like God. It looks like God because there is the presence of God. I'm not envying the promises on your life because I got promises of my own. I'm not envying your assignment because I got an assignment of my own. I don't envy your marriage, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your car, your house because I got my own. Why? Because we serve the same God. And he's no respecter of person. Whatever God would do in your life, shut up, blah, 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 blah. He'll do in your life too. Hey, blah, 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 shit. I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. My point is simply this. That's what God said. We don't need to put that in the Constitution. We don't need to have no committee meetings. We don't need to be bringing people in. You know, you need to work on love. You need to work on truth. We ain't got to disguise this. We don't need to water this down. When you wrong, you wrong. I don't care who you are. If the pastor ain't loving properly, we need to say, hey, pastor, tighten up on love. You stand up there trying to teach us and you don't have love, you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Come on, show some love. Can I get a little love? Yeah. Can I get more love? Yeah. And then walk outside and can't speak to nobody. Pastor, you sure preach. It didn't affect you none. You still hateful had it. Everybody in the church know who the hell raisers are. Everybody knows. And we walk around on eggshells because we don't want to confront you about your hatefulness. Well, that day is over. We're going to second John you. No assignment unless you can do love. No leadership roles unless you do love. You don't do love, go sit down in a corner somewhere till you learn how to love. And be truthful. I just don't get along with everybody. Then you need to go sit down somewhere. Because God loved everybody. You never know whose hand gonna lift you out of the muck and the mire. You never know who's gonna slice off a morsel of bread. You never know who's gonna wet your tongue with a cool drink. Trust me in this. It's the command of God that you love each other. Part of essential discipleship is love. And then he goes on. He says this. You didn't just learn this. He said, you heard it from the beginning. Now, that goes back to answering the four prongs, the why, the who, the what, and the when. Can I tell you something? One of the problems that we are finding as evidence in the church is we started out wrong. We didn't teach people the right stuff in the beginning. We were so excited, maybe about four or five folk coming in, that we just let them come in. We didn't set them down and say, let me tell you what the essentials are of discipleship. And we know that to be true. Because there are a whole lot of folk that thought when they joined church, they were saved. No, you should have got saved and then joined the church. Now you say, well, no, what I'm saying is when you decided to make that choice, then salvation should have been your priority rather than just joining the church and then not coming back next Sunday. Because you thought when you joined the church, you were saved. No, when you joined the church, you joined the church. If you didn't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and start to live in truth, you're probably not saved. Because this is not about you. This is his will be done. And so we got to go back to the beginning. And again, you don't have to raise your hand, but let's just be honest. You know, when a lot of us joined the church, and even if we really got saved, did they really give us the essentials of discipleship? No, they handed us a piece of crayon and a coloring book, told our kids to color this picture. And no teacher really taught them from an early age about Christ. And let me tell you something now, and I'll tell you this over and over. I don't care what the government says. I don't care if they're Jews. I don't care if there's Muslims. I'm saying in the name of Jesus, whether they like it or not, I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm going to be spiritually correct. So if you don't want me to say in the name of Jesus, don't invite me to your state house meeting. You know, let me tell you something. That flag coming down in South Carolina ain't changed nothing. Until you get them nine heathens up there at the Supreme Court to stop jacking around the word of God, it means nothing. They may well be the Antichrist. You can't tell me, well, yeah, okay. All right, Leroy. Okay, here we are. Let me get my essentials in. These are the things I told you I was going to tell you about. Three things. One, he said this, verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not believe that Jesus Christ came to earth in a real body. We know that. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out so that you do not lose the prize for which we have been working so hard. Don't lose your way. Watch this. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. For if you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will not have fellowship with God. Quick option, but if you continue in the teaching of Christ, you will have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. Let me tell you what's happening. First thing you got to learn how to deal with and be aware of are deceivers. Let me tell you what makes for good deception. Good deception only works when it has a good reflection of the original. It's got to look real. So everybody that build a church don't mean it's a God church. Everybody that put on a robe and turn their collar backwards don't mean they sent from God. Everybody with a title. Good deception has to look a lot like the original. Okay? He said, there are deceivers. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many ever had somebody try to pull a game on you, a scheme, or try to deceive you, trick you, you know, scam you? They're good deceivers, but they have to sound convincing to keep your attention. You know, they'll come in and go, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, and you know, you listen, or even again, if you go in certain churches, and John, you're gonna give us an answer here in a minute that is an absolute truth, even in 2015. But he says, you gotta be careful because they've been sent out into the world. Who sent them? The devil did. He dispatched them. Just like God dispatched us, the devil dispatched his army. Let me tell you what the issue that you have to understand about an army. What good is an army if there's no other army to fight? The reason we have an army is because the enemy got an army. So just like we got dispatched on our assignment, they got dispatched on their assignment. Our assignment was to promote truth. Theirs was to promote the lie. So there's our conflict. There is the controversy. They're telling you this, and God's saying that. So he says, listen, please understand, many deceivers going out into the world. Here it is. How do we know they're deceivers? They do not believe that Jesus Christ came in an earthly body. Such a person is a deceiver. You meet people who tell you that, I don't believe that. Okay, you know what you're dealing with. You meet people who try to tell you there's more than one, you know, way to heaven, and there's more than one Christ. No, there's one Christ. You know, and you meet people who tell you that the Lord sent them a special message, and therefore they started a whole religion, Mormons. You know, be careful. You know, the Lord called him and told him, no. You go on with that, but no. You meet people, they're deceivers. Anybody, now, again, this goes back to one of the four prongs. Anybody who speaks counter to what we say we believe is a deceiver. But again, until you've answered the what you believe, you're not going to fight for this. This is my life. Anything counter to this, I disagree with you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what popular opinion calls for. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the local court says. I don't care what the Fourth Circuit says. If it does not agree with this word, which is my life, you can go ahead with that. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to burn your flag. I'm not going to block the street. You know what I think? Listen, a flag is a flag. Somebody with a material bulk of material sewed some colors together. Betsy Ross sat down one day and said, this ought to be a good idea. So be the stars and stripes. It's a flag. So if you want to walk with your flag, whatever color it is, whatever's on it, okay, to a certain degree, you go right ahead. My principles are not in your flag. The Ku Klux Klan carry a cross. It doesn't diminish the cross to me because I know what the cross means to me. What it means to them, that's right. I don't care. I'll be honest with you. You can fly any flag you want. As long as you don't fly it in my yard, you don't fly it on my church property and that kind of thing. I ain't got nothing against flags. No. I know what the symbolism of certain flags mean. That I don't like, but I'm not going to worry about your flag. Because that and don't do nothing to me. But if you put your hands on me, it wasn't your flag I'm coming after. It's you. Mark my word, I sure believe in laying hands. It's a ministry from heaven. Amen. And the Bible tells us to defend our Constitution, that which we believe, the Word of God. We defend it. Nations have gone to war and still go to war. I think Minister and I were talking about Israel and all that stuff that's happening because they believe God. Excuse me, they have some controversial things that, you know, and I pray God will work that out for them before it's too late. But he said they're deceivers, many of them. That's why you can't go to every church. You can't let everybody come preach in your church. Don't let everybody who rang your doorbell come sit in your house. Don't go to everybody's prayer meeting. Don't run around in these little shout houses. When you got people, your little girlfriends and your male friends, talking about, man, we meet over sister's own house and we pray. And no, let's meet at the church and pray. Under the cross of Jesus, because we got a church for that reason.
I tell people all the time, there is no legitimate excuse for us to be meeting in people's houses if we are disciples in the local church. That's what our church is for. And we need to be under the observation of our leaders so we'll make sure that no deception is creeping in. Trust me in this, beloved of God, the enemy will plant a deceiver in a prayer meeting, in a Bible study, and lure us away. Before we know it, we sit over there chanting and holding our pinkies together because the person brought this great idea. I've been trying this and it works for me. I've been trying Jesus and it's always worked for me. And I ain't got to do no chanting and I ain't got to be cutting up no nothings for Jesus to work for me. Don't be laying nothing on my head. Don't let everybody wash your feet. As they look like this. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Cut that part out. That was a joke. That was a bad pastor. Okay, then he says, not only are they deceivers, but they're those whose ministry is to destroy the body of Christ. They want to destroy it. Listen to what he says. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Watch out for those because they are deceivers and an antichrist. Watch out so you don't lose the prize for which you have been working so hard. They want to destroy it. They just want to cast it down. And there are people who just want to see the church collapse. Can I tell you that this building is stronger than any of us, but we're stronger than this building. Did y'all get that? United, we are empowered. Yeah, this building can weather a storm. It can go through some things, and you know, but as humans, we make the body of Christ strong. And we will not be destroyed if we're united. We'll not be destroyed if we do love. We'll not be destroyed if we have knowledge. Without knowledge, people die. And so we're smarter than that. We can defend ourselves with the word of God. We can pull our notes out and say, oh, no. We've already talked about that. We know better. And what he tells us is there are those who want to make you forfeit your pride. Donna Summers, Jess, MacArthur's Park is melting and the sweet green icing flowing. She said, I worked so hard on that cake. And she left it out in the rain. The efforts. Listen, can I tell you why we are sometimes so easily deceived and drawn away? Because we have not invested. We have not signed on for life. So we can walk away so easily. But he said, you worked so hard for that prize. Why would you let somebody just destroy it? Why would you let them draw you away? This is what I came for. Burger King has always been one. I don't go there very much, but their slogan, have it your way, was always interesting to me. And I would go into Burger King when I was younger. I used to work down the street from Burger King. That was my lunch place. And I would go in there and I would just do anything. I would say, give me a Whopper with extra cheese, extra pickles, extra mustard, extra. And they put it, whatever you said, have it your way. You can go in Burger King and actually get a bun and a piece of meat. You can go to Burger King and I tried this one time. You can say, just give me the bottom bun, no top bun. They say, okay, yeah. You can go in there and get a burger with no meat in it. You can say, just give me the lettuce, tomatoes, the pickles, the onions, the mustard, the ketchup, and that's all. They say, okay. Now, they're going to charge you the same price. So you might as well get the meat and give it to somebody else. But it is truly have it your way. I have never had them say, we can't do that. I've been convinced that if Burger King can hold to that, surely the King of Kings can hold to that. God is so awesome. But I mean, I've worked so hard for my prize. I can do all things through Christ. Nothing is impossible. And I'm going to let you just take that from me? No, we got some fighting on our hands. The devil got a fight coming if he's going to try to take this from me. and I shouldn't have to fight alone. When I know that the devil has set up against you, we need to be aligned. I said, look, you ain't got to fight by yourself. There are more for us than there are against us. And he said, there are those who really want to come in and just destroy. And then he says, and there are going to be some folk that's going to leave. Watch what he says. He said, listen, you've wandered well beyond teaching of Christ. You will not have fellowship with God, but if you continue the teaching, you're going to be all right. There are people who leave. And we're not obligated to chase folk. You know, there are always those who want to say, well, the Bible said the Lord will leave the 99 to go after the one. The one that he's going after is one that has strayed unintentionally. Because, again, as I said, you become distracted. You can sometimes wind up in a detour or deception. But God said that's one we want. The ones who say, I'm gone, that ain't deception. That's not one. That's a deliberate departure. I ain't coming back no more. Well, hit the road, Jack. And don't come back no more, no more. What you say, hit the road, Jack. We're going to put that in the choir praise team song. And we're going to do it like they did on the TV. Here's the reality. People leave. But they shouldn't be stolen. Don't miss that. People leave, but they shouldn't be stolen. And if they're stolen, then we need to go get them. If they've been deceived and we can see something is happening, you know, listen to your sons and daughters. Listen to your husband and wife. When they start coming in the house with these pamphlets and all of a sudden there's these super religious ideas or they found a better way, you pay attention to that. They meet new people and start bringing strange people to your house. I want you to meet Elder so-and-so or Evangelist so-and-so, Prophetess so-and-so. You be careful. You say, where'd you meet her, man, or her? Oh, they on my job. And we have Bible study at work and we got a break room and you pay attention. And then they come in and say, well, I'm leaving Brookville. I'm going to the United House of Prayer. Or the fellowship. You say, excuse me? Let's try the spirits by the spirits. Because I think you're being stolen away. And we're not going to let you be stolen away. How many of you, if your child, son, daughter, brother, or sister were kidnapped, wouldn't do all you could to get them back? Within reason. My spirit is saying somebody said it depends on which brother or sister is kidnapped. Oh, we got to change that. He said, listen, they're going to leave. And watch what he says. He said, now here's what you do. Verse 10 is critical. If someone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite them into your house or encourage them in any way. Don't even people ring your doorbell with their little pamphlets and their good news and they're awake and they want to tell you about a better way. You show them the way. Go back the way you came. Even people who show up in our churches, I've seen it before. People come in, you know, and they got their Bible under their arm, and then, you know, doing Bible study, they want to raise their hand and open up a form of questions or go in an area that we wasn't going in because they want to try to take over the meeting. You say, excuse me, save your question for later. Brother pastor, I want to make a little point. I mean, excuse me, y'all don't mind. No, sit down. I'm the teacher. And they, you know, they'll come around like that and try to be profound. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You tell them thank you, but no thank you. And you call that the correction immediately. Watch what he says. He said, don't invite them. Don't encourage them. Watch what he said. Anyone who encourages them becomes a partner in the evil work. Don't be bringing folks. Pastor, I want to introduce you. This person has really helped me. Auf Wiedersehen. Don't encourage people. he mean well. No, 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 no. You become a partner with that evil work. Are you going around on your job passing out pamphlets for them or passing out their car? Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't let people come in and deceive you. You'll know the truth because the truth has set you free. But you got to know truth. The litmus test is simply this. What does the Lord say? Don't be destroyed. Don't lose your prize. Don't let people wreck your faith. The Bible said they were shipwrecked in their faith. How? People got in and just messed them up. How many of you have been driving down the road and somebody grabbed the steering wheel? That never happened to none of y'all. Well, I'll go ride with some of y'all. We'll make it happen. Y'all, each one of y'all, I'll start out. We'll make it happen. What I'm telling you is, if too many people got the wheel, we got a problem. Okay? You have to have one driver. Just like we got one Lord and one faith, we need one leader. That's why God said, I'll give you pastors. You don't need to be following everybody who come up trying, Lord didn't call me. Yet the Lord called you and told you to go sit down, not stand up. The Lord told you to be quiet and learn, not start your own church. One leader. Everybody needs to understand that these deceivers and the destroyers and the departed, they're in our midst. And we have to be on our guard. That's why the Bible told us to watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. And how do you know? Because you've learned. You can recognize a fraud. Most of us know quality when we see it. Amen? How many of y'all ever been in the store and picked up something? Oh, this cheap. This ain't gonna last 5 minutes. And you put it back. Amen. You can look at a pair. Ladies, I know y'all know good shoes when you see them. You say, oh, no, child, you can't walk in water with them things. The bottom going to fall out. You know, quality. In the body of Christ, how do we know? Because we know because we've learned. That's why the Bible told us, keep eyes open. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath eyes. God said, tune up so you won't be deceived, so you won't be destroyed. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you know people that have become confused and are uncertain now because they kept hearing too many voices? How many know people that had things happen and they walked away from God because of events in life and it just crushed them? How many of you know people that have just walked away for no good reason? And then complaining, well, y'all didn't try to get me back. You left. We didn't say leave, you left. And so if you have walked away from God, how did you make that choice? Didn't you walk to God if you really got saved? Again, where's the exit strategy? There is no way out. Be thou faithful even unto death. Just like my life is in Christ Jesus, my death is in Christ Jesus. And I trust him that the dead in Christ will rise. I trust him that there is an eternal place. I have gone to prepare a place for you. I trust that. I don't have to see it. God ain't got to send me no brochure. I ain't got to go online and go, oh, that's what my room in heaven going to look like. Okay, I believe it now. No, I trust him. Unequivocal. There is no part of my life in Christ that I don't trust him. In sickness, in health, in wealth, in poverty, whether I'm on top, in the middle, whether it's going well or going, I trust him. I am not my own. I can't control my life. I've messed it up trying to control it on sundry occasions. I trust God. Why? Because his word is absolute to me. And if in fact, it's no more than what most of you do. When you say something, you put it into the atmosphere, you stand on it. How many of you ever told somebody, you heard what I said? Okay, only three of y'all. I said, how many of y'all ever told somebody? Yeah, y'all done told folk that. You heard me. My word is my bond. When I was growing up, there was a little fight introduction they used to have, and girls used to do it more than guys did. I said it, I meant it, I'm here to represent it. Y'all remember, see, y'all thugs. Two thugs right here. Y'all need deliverance. Come on up to the altar presently. You know, I said it, I meant it, and then you don't draw the line and banish your word. You're saying, yeah, I said that. So if you can do that, why can't God? I trust him. There's no part of him saying anything to me that I'm sitting around going, I don't know, God, we got to work on that. There are times when I have to work with my unbelief. And you ask God, Lord, help me with this. You know, when my dad was sick and cancer was riddling his body, I'm praying that he be healed, and God ain't changing yet. So I said, well, Lord, help me with this. When my grandmother, when things happen, you know, you I'm not going to flake out on God. I just said, Lord, just help me get through this. Because what I want and what you're doing don't look the same right now. So help me, God. And trust me, he's helped me every time. That's why, you know, I'm not going to quit because I didn't get what I want. How many of you know that God not giving you some things has blessed your life too? Some of them no's have sure made a difference, boy. We didn't see it then, but we look at it now and go, Lord, ooh, if in 1982 you'd have gave me that, I would never have made 83. I wouldn't make watch night, Lord. So thank you, Lord. And so I'm not going to depart. I'm not going to leave him. Listen, those things that I can accept, those things that I expect, those things that are mysterious, they're still God. Nobody ever told you that you had to like all of it. There is some conflict there. There's some rub there. Conviction is never pleasant. But thank God for conviction. You know, amen. All right, my time has expired. Did I help you a little bit? All right. Next week, we're going to get into how to work with the impossible. We're going to start talking about that. So we've talked about how to deal with accepting and expecting, submitting to what we don't understand. And we talked about receiving and comprehending. So next time we're going to start talking about dealing with the impossible. Father, thank you so very much for these who have gathered with us. Thank you, Lord, for those who are yet still on the way. Thank you, Lord, for even the absent part of our discipleship. For, Lord, we do recognize this, that we must come up on one accord. And so, God, we're not praying against them. We're praying for them that, Lord, indeed your house will be set when you come. Please, God, again, don't let us forget what we've learned today. Help us, Lord, to keep our notes fresh. Help us, Lord, to keep the opportunities in front of us that we might continue to grow in the Word of God. Please, God, again, bless my neighbor so my neighbor can help me when I need help, be there when I need them to be there. Bless, Lord, that I can be a help to my neighbor. Please, God, bring us up together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you.